The head of the U.S. Central Command, General Tommy Franks, paid a visit to Afghanistan yesterday to get an update on the ongoing war effort. Not long after General Franks left Kabul, a small bomb went off outside a United Nations guest house. The blast smashed windows and slightly injured several people. It also underscored the instability in the capital, despite the presence of some 5,000 U.N. peacekeeping troops. From Kabul, NPR's Eric Westerfeld reports.
At midday, General Tommy Franks stood beside the Turkish commander of the International Security Force in Kabul and said while progress has been made, much remains to be done to bring true security to Afghanistan.
The sense of stability, while not having arrived yet in Afghanistan, is moving in the right direction.
A few hours later, the not having arrived yet part of that statement came to life again. Afghan soldiers, police, and a UN security guard tried to establish order after an explosion outside a United Nations guest house last night.
Keep these people out. All of them. The area hasn't been cleared yet. It's been a device that's exploded.
No major injuries were reported in what was the first explosion at a Kabul UN office. A few weeks ago, hand grenades were tossed into a UN compound in the southern city of Kandahar. And recently, a would-be car bomber was thwarted in Kabul. Despite these recent security problems, including last month's assassination of Vice President Haji Qadir, U.S. officials seem reluctant to get involved in the kind of security measures in the cities that might suggest nation-building or distract from ongoing military operations. An Air Force fighter jet circles above Bagram Air Base north of Kabul, home to some 6,000 U.S. troops. There hasn't been a major battle with Taliban and Al-Qaeda since March. Lieutenant General Dan McNeil is the field commander for coalition forces in Afghanistan. In his war room headquarters in a noisy tent, McNeil says the fight has shifted to smaller patrols, searching for small groups of holdouts, especially in the eastern provinces along the Pakistani border.
We have a low probability of seeing massed formations such as the coalition force saw earlier this year in Operation Anaconda. We do expect to see numbers of smaller groupings, and we expect to be in fairly frequent contact with those groupings out in those areas for some time.
But lately, many of the operations have turned up arms and ammunition stashes, not fugitive terrorists. And some military analysts have said that the U.S. is focusing too much effort on a tiny number of Al-Qaeda and Taliban holdouts inside Afghanistan, when many may have likely fled to remote parts of neighboring countries. General Franks countered that coalition forces have mounted a global anti-terror effort with some 60,000 troops, many of whom are working, Frank says, outside of Afghanistan.
I won't talk specifically about where those troops are on any given day, but I will tell you that the relationships that we have with the surrounding states around Afghanistan will permit us over time to do the work that all of us recognize needs to be done.
But relationships are hardly assured. President Bush alienated Iran when he labeled the country part of an axis of evil, and Pakistan's army and government have little reach inside the lawless northwest frontier provinces where many Al-Qaeda and Taliban are thought to have retreated to. And U.S. soldiers here will tell you the war inside Afghanistan is far from over. Sergeant Rocco Luria's Army Humvee bumps along a vague suggestion of a road. He recently saw combat in the eastern provinces. Sergeant Luria says this will be a drawn-out war fought on the margins.
There's no such thing out here as front lines. You're basically operating against a guerrilla force. And a guerrilla force is really hard to track and pin down. So our job is to get out there to find the enemy and prevent another 9/11 from happening. We have to hunt these guys down one by one.
And one by one, Al-Qaeda fighters are proving extremely tough foes. In late July, for example, in the largest confrontation since Operation Anaconda, half a dozen suspected Al-Qaeda fiercely resisted 70 American troops. During an attempted compound search, the Al-Qaeda fighters began throwing hand grenades. Several U.S. soldiers were injured, and a nasty firefight ensued. Company Commander Captain Chris Serino says close air support was called in, and three different pairs of attack jets bombed the mud brick home into oblivion.
There was basically nothing left of this compound standing. And I remember talking to the commander on the scene there and saying, nobody could have possibly lived through that. There's absolutely no way.
But one Al-Qaeda fighter did survive, and he was able to toss one last grenade, injuring another U.S. soldier.
We could not believe that this one soldier had lived through the bombardment to inflict another injury on one of our soldiers. But I mean, they were resolved to fight, and they fought hard. I mean, an hour into the battle, A-10s were screeching down on the compound. They were still firing small arms at the aircraft. These were tough, tough soldiers.
The U.S. Special Forces soldier injured by that last grenade later died of his wounds. The Al-Qaeda fighter, shot multiple times, survived. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Kabul.
A transcript of Eric Westervelt's entire interview with Lieutenant General Dan McNeil is on our website, npr.org.